comes that evening for our speaker or our talker or our sharer or giver tonight. I've gotten to know him over the years through class, and he's currently the treasurer of Fraternal Spiritualist Church. Took over for Jody. Oh, he wants to get up here really bad. I'm going to make him wait it out just a little bit. David has so much to share, and he really speaks from his heart, and he's really trying to do God's work, you guys. And so he's just here to share his thoughts. This is his third time speaking, so let's give him, cheer him on, and just give him a big round of applause.
I tell you, life is full of God stories. Lisa, just when I saw you this afternoon, I brought to mind my cousin. Just the other day, I was with my cousin, Monica. And in talking with her, she was telling me about her, kind of her, what's been going on with her work. She's an accountant, works for a bookkeeping service. And she was talking about her situation at work and just dealing with people at restaurants and just how they don't perform, they don't follow through as they say they're going to. And I mentioned, well, who is it that you're talking about? Who are you dealing with, or what's going on? Well, it's PB Bar and Grill that I'm dealing with, and you know what? The most fascinating thing is that there's one individual there that I really think highly of. He's the only person that ever follows through and services me and picks up the phone and calls me the day after or the day of. What's his name? Well, I know somebody that works there. Adam is his name. You know Adam St. Germain? Yeah, I know his mom very well, too. They go to my church. Yes, life is full of God stories. I'll tell you, the other day, as I was sitting at my computer, just working away, sitting on my rump, just doing my daily task of working on facing the computer, and I look at my phone, and it starts ringing. Why would she be calling me at this time of the day? I haven't seen her for months. I haven't talked to her for quite a few months. Why would she be calling me? So I pick up the phone. I say, "Hi, Millie." "How are you, Millie? Why would you be calling me at this time of the day?" "Well, dear, I was looking at my calendar and I saw that, when's the last time you've talked at the forum?" "December 18th. Quite a few months ago." And we said, "Well, dear, I think it's time you need to talk again. I'm going to put you down on the 28th. "Oh, okay, thanks, Millie." And so here I am. Life is full of God stories, you know. I was reminded the other day, Sunday to be exact, that it's not all about me. And yet here I am. I asked Millie, "Well, what am I going to talk about?" "Well, talk about yourself." Okay, so I tend to get in my own way, which is really the point of, you know, it's not about me, okay, so how do I talk about myself and not make it about me? Well, it's that ego that tends to get in my way. And so I made the decision to go ahead and let my ego aside, just let it go, put it aside for a moment, and share my own thoughts, and let's talk about me for a moment. So there's something that I finally learned about life, if you can believe that, Beth. She's my wife, by the way. And that's that really to grow is to experience the pain, experience the rejection, experience the hard times, the fear, because that's how we grow. That's the part of us that is the reflection of who we are internally. Hence, which is why we are introduced to ourselves through adversity. Here at FSC, it's hammered in us that thoughts are things, energy, vibration. and that these are the very tools that we use to craft our homes. Know what I mean by our homes? And I learned that a simple change of thought can change my life, and that my home will grow within vitality. Now, I'm saddened to say that there's so many that refuse to change their circumstances because they have so many dreams, so many things, desires in life that they want to accomplish. And I talk to them and I listen to them and they're just so eager enthusiasm when they talk about these things. And then I ask them, so what are you doing about those dreams and wishes? Well, that's when I get to introduce to their butts. So let's discuss your butts for a second here. These things get in the way all the time. I want to do this. I want to open up a restaurant. I want to do this. But I don't have the money, or I don't have the resources, or I don't have the knowledge. Blah, 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 blah. Full of excuses, one thing after another. But if you can only change your mind, and that's something that I've learned coming here to Fraternal Spiritualist Church. About 5 years ago, going on 5 years now, I made this after probably about 18 months of traveling on a weekly basis. Every Monday I would board the plane and come home on a Tuesday night, having spent overnight at a construction site. And so 18 months into this, I find the project is winding down. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's next? What am I going to do? You know what? I need a change in my life because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't like what I've been doing to myself. I was certainly indulging in many of life's pleasures or those stimulants that we probably shouldn't be indulging in. Nonetheless, here I was thinking that, you know what? I need a change. And so I changed my mind. That simple thought, one thought. I decided, you know what, it's time to go back home. It's time that I open up my own home, that home that I've been crafting, or rather, I had been negligent of. I had to do some cleaning up in that home of mine and open it up and be receptive to others and share in me. So I made that one decision that I'm going to go back to Fraternal Spiritualists. And a funny thing happened to me. It's funny, when you make those decisions, the world opens up to you. And the God stories begin to flow. And I was boarding that plane that one evening, heading home, looking forward to just finally going to sleep in my own bed. I maneuvered my way into the sixth floor seat. And as I maneuvered my way into my chair, out of the corner of my eye, I caught this profile that was strikingly similar to Millie's. And as I looked at her, I said, Diana, hi, I'm David, remember me? Oh, I know you, I remember you. And I said to her, you know what, I've been thinking it's time for me to go back to Fraternal Spiritualists and start taking Millie's classes again. And she looked up at me and replied, well, she ain't getting any younger. And so I made that decision that, you know what, it's time to go back. It's time for me to change my mind, my life, and move forward with it. And so I've been talking here much about thoughts, about crafting your own home. And it saddens me to really see that there's so many that refuse to do that. And there's something that, again, they use the butts. They've got their butts in the way. And here's something that Les Brown once said. He said it best. But is an argument for our limitations to sleepwalk our way through life, finding ways to cancel out our dreams. So we build a case for our butts, but butts are dream killers. And so we believe in these thoughts that we convince ourselves that we can never have our heart's desire. So why is it that we prefer known hells over unknown heavens? That was powerful to me. Don't sweat small stuff, because it's all small stuff. And so it occurred to me as I was sitting at my computer that what I do on a daily basis is very much so what everybody does 24/7, 365 days of the year. And that's, I'm given a thought, I'm given a problem, a seed is planted, a concept is born. Right now I'm working on educational facilities, as I was describing to Rita Gray. These educational facilities that I'm working on require that start with a single thought. And then that thought is to provide an environment for our kids to grow, to learn, and to develop so that they can go on their own and master what we call life. And so what I do on a daily basis is take these thoughts, take that thought, and create this environment. A structure is born from this very seed that is planted, this very thought that is planted. And it's up to me, up to us, up to a team to develop this thought, to create this environment, this, and to mold, to shape this building into something that we all want to see, we all want to be in. I can add texture to it, bring color into this life, into this world. And so we, again, now, are you all seeing really how this parallels your own lives? We all do that on a daily basis from a single thought. We create, or we create misery in our own homes. It's really up to you to make that change, to decide, well, what am I going to do henceforth? And so that's what I did. And so I told, it's funny that there's a contractor that approached me once, and she asked me, well, what is it that you do on a daily basis? I said, I assemble buildings, I create buildings. Well, wait a minute, she looked at me puzzled. No, that's what I do. Well, no, before you ever get a hold of those plans, those drawings, those blueprints, it existed as a thought. And so that's what I did. That's what I do for you. I create, take that thought and prepare a set of directions in order for you to build your home, to build that structure. So again, this thought can either enhance one's life or lifestyle, or conversely provide for a miserable existence. So hopefully everyone's making the correlation here, that our own thoughts characterize our own existence in the form of either happiness or misery. Anticipate that there will always, though, always be some extenuating experience, situation that will affect the development of your own home. We can't escape that. And so what I do in architecture, what we do to reinforce, to really deal with those extenuating circumstances is we understand that, for instance, that there's seismic requirements, that there's elements, there's water, there's fire. And so we prepare, we anticipate that there's going to be these extenuating circumstances, these forces that are going to require that we maintain and stand tall, and that the structure remains intact as protection for us, for those occupants in that building. Again, this is what we do on a daily basis. And so how do we train our own thoughts to deal with these extenuating circumstances? Well, I can only tell you what I've done, and that's I've changed my mind. I've worked on my own thoughts, because that's what we learn here in Fraternal Spiritualist Churches, as you all know, or as many of you as know, is that thoughts actions, words matter, and they affect who we are, that home that we've created. And it was this that I come to learn, that you can always anticipate that there's going to be something that cracks the foundation of your own home. Reminds me of Larry, the field inspector guy that I, for 2 years, there was construction that was going on in USU San Marcos that I was the architect for. It's the library. And for 16 months of those 18 months that I was going out there on a weekly basis, Larry would meet me every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Larry was a tall fella then, yet he exuded just a certain jolliness about him. He was just very jolly, happy-go-lucky, at least I thought so. And so we would walk, for the first hour that I was there, we'd walk the construction site, go around, answer any questions, and then we'd proceed into the construction trailer and sit there for the next 8 hours duking it out with the contractor there. But Larry, you see, Larry had some things going on in his life. See, the one morning when I arrived, Larry wasn't there. Where's Larry? I was thinking to myself, so I walked into the construction trailer. No one's around. Okay, so I proceeded to walk the construction site on my own. Still no Larry. I didn't bump into any Larrys on site. And then I walked back to the construction trailer. And when I got there, the receptionist was there, and I approached her, and I asked her, where's Larry? What's going on? Well, you haven't heard? Well, apparently what Larry would do is, Larry had a lot going on in his life, as I mentioned. What I didn't know and what I learned was that his wife was in stage 4 cancer. Larry every day drove from Riverside, sat in traffic for 2 hours each way. And on the way home, Larry, in lieu of sitting in traffic, would stop at some local bar. Well, it turns out that Larry, something was building inside him, and it got to the point where he had a confrontation with a 24-year-old, and Larry was over 40. And this confrontation was over a pool table. Words were exchanged, and Larry cracked, pulled out his gun, and shot this guy. Thinking, wow. How does anybody get to this point? Larry, I don't know. I know he's in jail. I don't know what's going on or what happened to this guy. But Larry, something inside Larry got to the point where that foundation was cracked. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, it's just not worth it. How does anybody get to that point? I don't get it. I don't understand. But I suppose I'd have to be faced with those same circumstances. And how do we deal with those circumstances? It's by working on ourselves, our inside, crafting that home, and anticipate that there's always going to be some sort of an extenuating circumstances that you're going to have to deal with, not to your liking. And so, like I said, about 5 years ago, I made that decision to change my mind, my thinking habits, my stimulant habits. And that's when this God stories began to flow in to my life. And now I'm faced with it, and it's wonderful. You can change your life just by simply changing your thinking. And I can attest to that. And so, I ask that you anticipate God's stories. Here's some stories that I can share with you. 5 years ago, right around the same time, I also wanted to change jobs. I was getting really miserable where I was working, and for 2 years I sat at this computer working, just thinking daily, oh, I just want to get out of here. I don't like it. It's going nowhere. There's a glass ceiling. I'm not going to develop in it. I'm not going to be able to achieve those goals, those dreams that I have. I need to get out of here. For 2 years, it was tough. I suffered. The work was not creative. The people that I was surrounded by were, the mood was really low, and that's because over the span of those 2 years, I actually experienced and survived 8 different layoffs. But nonetheless, I eventually became one of those economic casualties to my wishes, my desires. That's what I was waiting for. All these folks got ahead of me for that. And finally, I got my wish 2 years later. But for 8 months, I was not employed. And yet, you know what? I wasn't concerned. And I know my wife was. I was the recipient of that, those emotions each time I come home, and yet I had a lot of work. Nonetheless, I had a lot of work, and I was working out of the house. And over those few months that I had work, I finally got to the point where it's drying up. Okay, I started thinking, and I put that thought out there. And that thought is, okay, I need to get some contract work or get some work coming in. And sure as hell. You know, it was, I think, that morning that I thought to myself, okay, I need to get some contract work. I need to get some work in. About 2 hours later, I get this text message. Okay, can you come in? We need to talk to you because I've got some work. We need some contract work. We've got some contract work for you to do. And then 2 hours later, I get another text from another firm up in Solana Beach that says, could you come in and talk to us? We could use your help. We could use your assistance. We need some contract work. And simply by changing my mind and introducing that thought and putting it out there, that it came back to me exactly as I wished. Exactly. And so I proceeded to work at these two different locations. Eventually, the Solana Beach firm decided that they wanted to take me on. I wasn't interested in making that commute, but nonetheless, okay, I need the work, I need the projects, I need to keep my girls happy and fed. And so I proceeded to accept this position, and for the next, well, I actually on the condition that, okay, I'll give this a year. I'll give it a year. And sure enough, after about a year, but I'd say 6 months into it, I was really actually ready to take off. You know, I just couldn't deal with this commute anymore. It's just, it's not rewarding, and it's not the kind of work I want to do, commercial interior design space planning. Although I was familiar with it, but nonetheless, I just need to get out of here. This is not rewarding. This is not what I do. Don't enjoy that. In fact, I feel like I took a back seat, but nonetheless, I stuck it out, but kept that thought out there. I need to find something else. And then on January of 2013, I get this text message in the world of design. It's rather small, and so if you're well-connected, you really don't need to get on the phone with anybody. And so I've known enough people. I know have enough contacts that communication can take place via texting. And so I get this phone call. Or actually, this text. Can you meet me for lunch? I'd like to chat with you about coming on board. And so we meet for lunch, we chat, and he said, okay, afterwards, well, I'll get in touch with you in about a year. There was a sense of urgency. I'll get in touch with you in about a week, I should say. And so, okay, I thought to myself, well, okay, great, that sounds great. So a week goes by. Still haven't heard from him. 2 weeks goes by, still have not heard from him. Finally, after the fourth week, you know, I'm just thinking, okay, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I suppose I could let fear get a hold of my thoughts and decide for me that, you know, I better get on the phone. Got to have a sense of urgency. I better get in touch with him. Well, it turns out that was for the best because he calls me finally after about 3 months and says, okay, well, I'd like to get together with you and chat a little longer about coming on board. And so I get together with him, or actually what I do is I schedule an appointment with him on a Thursday. On Wednesday, prior to that Thursday, I get this email from him which states that, I hope you understand, but I'd have to call off the meeting. I think you'll understand! Exclamation. And that's it. And so he goes quiet for several months. And I'm thinking to myself, that's okay. You know what? Something will come along. Because something always does. You're always taken care of. Well, it turns out that that Thursday that I was scheduled to have lunch with him, the following Monday, I go to the staff meeting. Well, in that staff meeting is a woman by the name of Lori. Her husband, Brett, is somebody that I used to work with at another firm, two previous firms. Lori is somebody I also work with at another firm. The two principals there, I both knew them at previous firms, two other firms, and it goes all the way back to the 80s. And so it's a small world here, but nonetheless. So I asked her. I knew her husband had been laid off probably about 2 to 3 weeks prior to that Monday staff meeting. And so I asked her, I hadn't asked her in a while, but how's Brett doing with his job hunting? And she looks at me and she says, oh, he got a job. Somebody learned that he had lost his job about a week ago, and they contacted him. Again, small world, design world. Well, it turns out that this individual, this principal that I used to work with at another firm that was looking to hire me, learned of Brett and contacted him and hired him for that position that I thought I was going to take. And you know what? I was okay with that. I was okay with that because it was probably for the best. And in fact, after meeting with them a couple of times and going to their office, I decided, you know what? Not sure this is the right place for me anyway. So about a month passes, and it's just building and building. And you know what? I just cannot be here. And I go home every night telling my death, you know what? I'm ready to walk. I can just walk any moment. But I didn't do anything about it until one Sunday I decide, okay, let's take action here. So I put it out there. I went up to a certain website that actually has postings of projects, and I see this listing here. One, which was a previous firm, JCJ, that I had been wishing to get out of, finally did. The other one right below that was another firm. I had never heard of them. So I decided to contact them, and I sent them my resume. That was on a Tuesday. No, that was on Monday. A couple of days later, I get this email, okay, we'd like to have interview. Could you come in on these 3 days? And so I decide, okay, I can come on Thursday, the latter of those 3 dates. And we schedule Thursday, and I show up, and coincidentally, and we believe that there are no coincidences here, coincidentally, it happened to be a day that I took off, was not working, didn't have to go up to Solana Beach, so we get together that morning. And we talk for a chat and actually catch up because it turns out we did some reminiscing about other firms, other individuals. And we sit and chat for about an hour. And then the meeting is concluded. The four partners tell me that, okay, we're gonna get together, we're going to discuss, and we'll get back to you. Well, the following morning I get this phone call from John, one of the principals, and says, we'd like for you to come on board. We'd like to extend an offer to you. And so so again, God stories. I just put the thought out there and decide, and it comes back. And so I took this job, but I had this checklist of items this time. I didn't previously. And there was about a checklist of 5 different items that, you know, okay, I want this amount of money, these hours, I want to be able to go and do this. And so every single one of those items is checklisted. And so people, all I'm trying to say here is that just by thinking differently, changing your thought patterns, and knowing and anticipating that there's going to be only good that comes your way, knowing too that there's always going to be those extenuating circumstances, I'm up here because I decided that, you know what, I too needed to make those changes. I needed to be a representative for Millie, for this church, and work and be of service to the angel kingdom, to God. And so now I find myself really feeling comfortable speaking on behalf of Fraternal Spiritualist Church and happy to. And I thank you for allowing me and getting in touch with me and contacting me and interrupting my day at work. And so I'd like for you just to allow you to know that there's always going to be God stories. And just a real quick one, Kimberly. The God stories just keep coming. They just keep coming and coming. And there's a real cute one that occurred the other day, because it's amazing how I can always get parking just by putting it out there. And as I was driving to Little Italy with Beth in my car, we're going to meet somebody for lunch. And as we drive up, and sure enough, there's the parking space right in front of the restaurant or nearby. And she turns to me and she says, well, that's lucky. And I reply to her, no, it's not. Not if you ask. And so I'd like to leave that with you, is begin to ask. Begin to change. And it's as simple as changing your mind. That single thought that occurred about 5 years ago has really changed my life and brought me to this podium, to where I am right now. And I'm just seeing so many other desires and dreams that I want to achieve by simply changing my mind. Thank you.